Calm your spirit. Quiet your mind. Open your heart. Come on in. We make this place holy by our presence as we gather here. We make this time holy by the intention of our purpose as a community. Please join me in the spirit of prayer. God of the autumn, help us to live with the grace of falling leaves, with the enthusiasm of brilliant reds and golds and oranges, with the strength of the old trees whose roots go deep into the earth. God of this season, help us to know that living and dying are one, that life is a precious gift bound by human limits, that nothing good is ever lost if that good touches others. Help us to see in the turning of the seasons, in nature's own way, a way for ourselves. May your spirit touch us all, and especially those whose lives are touched with grief, with loss, with some hard and troubling truth. God of our days, in these days, in all our days in this life, may love bind us one to another, and may those bonds be enduring amidst change and amidst trouble. Now, in shared silence, we offer the prayers of our hearts. . 1870 was the year that the American Unitarian Association received an invitation from the U.S. government to take part, along with other religious bodies, in the, quote, elevation and improvement of the Native Indians. The words that follow now are from the 1870 yearbook of the AUA. The plan proposed was to assign particular districts to the different denominational organizations and to allow these organizations to nominate persons who should be agents of government in all its relations with the Indians in such districts. These agents had before been either military officers or else such civilians as might succeed in procuring the appointment. And the offices had often been so abused that instead of helping, they had been one of the means of preventing the civilization of this race. A full and satisfactory understanding of the purposes of the president and the government led your AUA committee to enter with much interest into this project and accept the proposal. To care for the educational and spiritual well-being of these wards of the nation, to meet the Indians in a humane Christian spirit, to save them from trickery, robbery, intemperance, and other vices of frontier life, to present to them the better phases of Christian civilization, to induce them to adopt the homes, the clothes, and the simpler modes of civilized life. And it goes on. These people are more docile and susceptible than is popularly supposed. They opened to us an important field of Christian influence and brotherly service. The effort to be made in their behalf is to make them a pastoral people who shall take care of their own herds and flocks as they already take care of their own horses. They will then be able to feed themselves instead of coming for food to the government of the United States. And they will thus have taken that step, which all history shows is the first step in civilization. I began with the words of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. Our nation was born in genocide. We are perhaps the only nation which tried as a matter of national policy to wipe out its indigenous population. Moreover, we elevated that tragic experience into a noble crusade. On this Sunday before the federal holiday of Columbus Day, a day increasingly recognized as Indigenous Peoples Day, I have a story from the Unitarian branch of our family tree to share with you. But first, I need to set the stage by saying just a bit about the 1999 General Assembly of the Unitarian Universalist Association in Salt Lake City, Utah. That assembly opened, as many did, with a ceremony of Native American acknowledgement. Forrest Kutch, then executive director of the Utah Division of Indian Affairs, a Northern Ute and a member of the Ute Indian Nation, welcomed us. He spoke about the conquest of Native peoples, what our history books refer to as the Indian Wars. He said that there needs to be a discussion and a thorough grieving of what took place. And once we forgive each other, we should move on. He closed by saying, "Our spirits are the same because they all come from the same source. We are all related. We are all brothers and sisters. We are all connected. And I say, welcome, brothers and sisters." No one knew then that a decade later in 2009, when our General Assembly returned to Salt Lake City, that it would begin with a very different kind of ceremony. This one, an acknowledgement of the complicity of the American Unitarian Association in the removal of the Northern Ute from their homeland, the Shining Mountains, in what is today Colorado. Here's that story. Following the Civil War, soldiers of the Union Army were deployed to take the lands of Native peoples on the Great Plains so the U.S. government could pursue a policy of manifest destiny, extending the United States from the Atlantic to the Pacific. The armed conflict was often intense and deadly. Remember Custer's last stand at the Little Bighorn. Finally overwhelmed, Native peoples were forcibly relocated onto reservations, lands that were of no use for whites to settle. Government agencies were set up on reservations and run by the military. And then in 1870, President Ulysses Grant decided to change who was in charge. He launched his peace policy, asking Protestant denominations to take responsibility for different agencies. Grant believed this would bring additional resources, a greater likelihood for conversion of Indians to Christianity, and a more significant degree of progress toward assimilation. Under this peace policy, the Northern Ute, who still lived on a small portion of their lands in Colorado, were offered to the Unitarians. The American Unitarian Association accepted the offer. Unitarian ministers were dispatched to two agencies, White River and Los Pinos. The goal, according to one of them, was, quote, to induce the Indians to settle in permanent abodes and assume the habits and dress of civilized life, to do some kind of work other than hunting. Today, we would call this cultural imperialism, forcing a new culture and a new way of life on a people. Then it was simply referred to as civilizing the Indians. The results were tragic. The Commissioner of Indian Affairs, serving in 1872, wrote, quote, "To the white man, freedom of expansion is of incalculable value. To the Indian, it is of incalculable cost. We are richer by hundreds of millions, the Indian poorer by a large part of the little that he has. This growth is bringing imperial greatness to the nation. To the Indian, it brings wretchedness, destitution, and beggary. The white appetite for land and other natural resources, such as gold, was voracious. By 1881, the Ute were forced to leave what was left of their precious shining mountains and relocate to a reservation in what became the state of Utah, a state named after the people who had been forced to relocate there. The Unitarian Indian agents were hardworking and dedicated. They saw the needs of the Ute and tried to do the right thing as they understood it. They demanded the U.S. government honor its treaty obligations. They pointed out the futility of forcing the Ute to farm, gaining nothing, they reported, from that effort thanks to grasshoppers, drought, and frost. The agents defended the Ute, urging the government not to allow whites to make war on them. Reverend J. Nelson Task, when agent at Los Pinos in Colorado, wrote these words. The truth is that many of the people of this territory are indefatigable in their efforts to make the Indians appear vicious and dangerous, and so as to help each other in filling the paper with rumors of danger, making everything seem to tend toward war. I regard war with the Utahs as utterly inexcusable, for the Utahs do not want war, and prompt, strong measures should at once be taken to prevent such an occurrence. How, as it turns out, the Unitarian agents were not very effective. They failed often. For example, they failed to secure sufficient funds to develop and maintain boarding schools for Ute children. If there is any good news here, it is that our agents did less damage than more successful denominations did. That was true until the last agent with whom the AUA had a relationship. Nathan Meeker insisted farming be the way of life for the Ute. He was forceful, intransigent, a person who generated conflict in every interaction he had with the Ute under his charge. It was Meeker who called on the U.S. military for support, an action that led ultimately to Meeker's massacre, to Meeker's own death, and finally to the forced removal of the Ute to the Uintah and Ouray Reservation in Utah. A last word about Nathan Meeker. His misunderstanding of Ute culture was matched only by his total disrespect for it. In a letter to the American Unitarian Association in May of 1879, Meeker wrote, quote, "When I spoke of the necessity for a missionary to learn the Ute language, I did not mean such efforts as are required in learning French, because the Ute is not a literary language. It has no history, no poetry, nor philosophy, and is confined largely to naming visible objects and expressing limited actions. A language becomes complicated as the people who speak it become energetic and industrious and philosophical and religious." So why does this history matter today? It matters because as people of faith, truth matters to us. As people of faith, reconciliation matters to us. It matters that we tell the truth and we continue to learn more of it and tell more of it more often. It matters that we confront the truth of harm done, that we confess and acknowledge our role. It matters that we make an honest apology. It matters that the one who has been harmed may find space in their hearts to forgive but not forget. It matters that those who caused harm engage in repair, if at all possible. This is not how reconciliation is completed and checked off the to-do list. This is how it begins. How we, as a people of faith, begin our turn round right. Our history matters because this faith is not our possession. We don't own it, we live it. And as we do, we renew and reshape it from the faith that we inherited into the faith that will be our legacy. And here's the deal. We inherit the whole thing, not just the good parts or the parts that speak of success or when we were on the right side of history. We inherit the whole thing. Part of our inheritance is the harm caused to the Ute by our forebears' participation in the Grant Administration peace policy. And that harm is not only in the past. It continues to this day, impacting the lives of Ute people as individuals and as a community. For the treaties are still not honored, and the rights to sacred historical sites and traditional lands are still ignored. Here is one thing that we collectively, the large we of Unitarian Universalism, can turn our attention to. The doctrine of discovery is a 15th century papal bull that became part of U.S. law in 1823. The Supreme Court ruled that the title to a, quote, newly discovered land, unquote, lay with the government whose subjects, quote, discovered new territory. Native nations are considered domestic, dependent nations with no inherent rights to the land. Still governing United States Indian law today, this doctrine was cited in a legal case as recently as 2005. And during the Dakota Access Pipeline actions last year to oppose that project, this doctrine was actively a part of the opposition and the efforts to stop that pipeline. We can work to have this doctrine repudiated by the U.S. government so that it no longer defines our national relationship to Native people. And there is certainly more. We can seek to change racist names on the American landscape, stop the use of Indian mascots, learn more about local Native American history, and we can rethink Columbus Day. Columbus Day is tomorrow. Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, is just a few days past. So here we are, in this moment in time, with the possibility of forgiveness on the one hand and the truth of our history on the other. At the conclusion of the opening ceremony at our 2009 General Assembly, the one that returned to Salt Lake City, Forrest Kutch was again there, along with Clifford Duncan, an esteemed elder of the Ute people. They gathered on the stage with then UUA President Bill Sinkford, who said to them, "To the Ute people, the Unitarian Universalist Association of Congregations offers our heartfelt apology. We participated, however ineptly, in a process that stole your land and forced a foreign way of life on you. We ask your forgiveness, and we promise to stand with you as you chart your way forward." A decade earlier, when Forrest Kutch was our guest for the first time, he concluded his statement with these words, "Our spirits are the same because they all come from the same source. We are all related. We are all brothers and sisters. We are all connected." If the Book of Life were still open today, perhaps these words, separated by a decade and joined by history, could be written on our common page. We offer our heartfelt apology. We ask your forgiveness. We promise to stand with you. Our spirits are the same. They all come from the same source. We are all connected. With thanks to Angela Herrera and Sean Parker Dennison, this is our benediction. The poet Antonio Machado has written, "Caminante, no hay camino, se hace camino al andar." Traveler, there is no road. One makes the path by walking. We make the path by walking it. We create the path with each step we take toward justice, change, right relationship, toward compassion, toward a world in which every person matters and each of us knows we can make a difference. Go forth, gentle people. Go forth in the spirit of love.